Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. It's your weekly podcast from myself, Stuart Roy Whiffin, and my co-host,
Christoph Glassier.
Christopher William Glasson. If this is your first time listening to Hardcore Listing, let's give you a little insight as to what you're going to get. You're going to get two underqualified morons counting down a top five of on a topic, sometimes chosen by us, sometimes chosen by a guest, sometimes chosen by our listeners. Today's been chosen by a listener, and we'll announce that shortly. First things first, we like to say thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, Egg Fried. Egg Fried is our most recent sponsor. They are a streetwear label. They do hip-hop, punk, skate-inspired fashion. Not only T-shirts and hoodies and sweaters, they also do skate pants and handmade denim as well. So go to eggfried.com and type in the passcode. Passcode? Voucher code.
Get that bit right. Why can't you ever get that bit right?
You know what?
You was on fire then as well.
You know what? The sort of circles I move in, mate, we use passcodes all the time, okay? Can't say any more than that. If you want to get yourself a discount, type in the word egg salad, all one word, and you'll get yourself a little Brucey bonus.
And there's some ace new threads on there now, so go and explore them. We'd also like to say thank you to our sponsor, love-beer.co.uk, and this is the last thrifty kind of off the back foot shout out to our sponsors. We're going to do something more formalised and something a little bit more interesting next week, so strap in for that. But in the meantime, this is our last opportunity to kind of just be horrible to our sponsors, really. So Smoky Wood Boy owns love-beer.co.uk, and aside from pimping up Land Rovers, he also delivers incredibly amazing beer, chosen by himself from some of the greatest breweries on our very shores, as well as installing bars in unique and interesting locations.
He's a fully certified British Beer and Pubs Association bar installer, I believe.
We're doing this bit next week. Don't big him up. I've just called him Smoky Wood Boy.
Okay.
All right. Another sponsor?
Luke Bang Boom, Bang Boom Creative, the man, the myth, the compulsive editor. If you want, it's a production company. If you want video, film, photography, and editing done through your company, then there is no better person to go and approach than Bang Boom Creative. If you've seen any of our videos online, or even the quiz that Pip did for Distraction Pieces during the lockdown, that was all done. That was all masterminded by Luke and Bang Boom Creative. So go and check those guys out.
Yeah, boy. Also, next week, new sponsor as well. We'll get onto that next week. But, exciting stuff to announce next week. Anyway, in the meantime, we're on to today's top five, chosen by one of our Patreons. Patreon is good. Not only do you get the episode every Monday, like the one you're listening to now, you can also go and watch it. You can watch it over on Patreon. And then on the Wednesday, get another episode just for Patreons. And you can watch that one as well if you want. Yeah. And you get loads of... Well, you get access to another couple of hundred shows and radio shows and videos of the drunk, the Distraction Pieces drunk casts. So
pictures
loads of stuff
you
over
in
there.
The bath as well.
What?
Oh, sorry. You didn't. I hide that from you. But yeah, we also do that. We also do that. Do you know who the patron is? Do you want me to announce the patron who picked this wonderful top five today?
www.patreon.com/hardcore listing. Honestly, it's the fundamentals, Chris. It's the fundamentals. I'm just trying to drag you through this podcast, and you're kicking and screaming,
you know,
just being a fuck. You think you're like, you alluded to the fact that you thought you was Jason Bourne with your fucking passcode comment, right? Now you see yourself as some kind of fucking podcast maverick that's just like kicking the fucking kicking the rules out the window. I'm going rogue.
Who picked this top five in?
Jessica Reed.
Okay, because the way you were dragging it out, I thought you'd forgotten. So actually, I was trying to cover your ass.
I thought you
were buying for time, because every time you went to say a name, you switched on to another elaborate story about Patreon. Yes, Jessica Reed. Jessica was with us when we did our Patreon live hangout the other day. Yes, long time listener. Thank you. Good, great choice this one. Great choice, this one, Jessica. And I'm moving to Margate soon, and she'll be a neighbour. So that'll be cool. Top five one-hit wonders. Before she moves out, away from Margate.
Or gets a court injunction.
Yeah. So this is a good one, isn't it? Have you put any rules into yours?
Well, I've kind of gone... I've not gone like 60s or 70s.
No, all right, fair dues, same.
Like, because I think that there was loads of one-hit wonders in the 60s and 70s that were brilliant, but I thought I don't want it too full on. So I've kind of gone, I would say most of mine are 80s and 90s.
Yeah, same. I would say that. And like, mostly they're one-hit wonders, but they might have maybe released something else, but it sort of didn't chart.
Didn't notably chart anyway. I looked on some Spotify playlists just to get some other ideas to see if there was something glaringly obvious I missed. And like, when you start seeing things like Take On Me by A-ha, they probably have had five platinum selling albums, and still will sell out the O2 Arena. They're not a one hit wonder. Yeah. There was a few in there that I just think, oh, come on. But
I saw that, and it was from like an American sort of site, and they were kind of like, oh yeah, we think they might have been big in Europe. It's like, oh, it's not really.
It's How really can accurate. These people have never have heard The Sun Always Shines on TV?
Wow.
Which is a fucking
Who did that
incredible
one?
Record.
Who's that one?
A-ha.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. A-ha! Yeah. Do you want me to start? You've probably got a better number one than me, because you're some muso prick.
It's offensive.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Oh, now I know what goes on in your head.
Oh, sorry.
Some of it. I don't want to know the other stuff.
not while we're when we're recording. It's tough to masturbate and do a podcast. You record so many podcasts, you must have to masturbate and shit and eat while recording podcasts, surely.
I've just come.
I'm going to slip in with a number five that absolutely robbed me, and I'm glad they're only a one-hit wonder. Back in the days when I bought singles in the 90s, and I saw the Levi's ad with Babylon Zoo with Spaceman, I was like, great, yeah, I'm going to buy that. I love the high-pitched, crazy dance
Spaceman.
Dun, 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 sh, dun, dun, dun. It sounded really cool. Bought it. Absolutely not the same song. Like, it does that bit at the start and at the end, and then the middle of it is just this long drawl out. I mean, I was, listen, mate, I liked Cotton Eye Joe at that point in time, and tunes like Swamp Thing. I weren't interested in like some art rock thing. You probably was. You probably loved it. You probably inspired him to wear a silver skirt, but not me, mate. So they were one hit wonder. That's an ultimate one hit wonder, because they made a fortune out of it, because of obviously they sold, like, NASA was. Used it a lot, and Levi's. Yeah, Babylon Zoo, mate. That's my number five. They did do another one, but I think that was dog shit.
The Boy with the X-Ray Specs. That was one of them, I think. That Animal Instinct, was that their second single?
I can't remember.
Jazz Man was Jazz the Man, singer.
That was it.
I remember seeing him on, was he on Brass Eye, where they said, like, he won't be held to the constraints of music. And I think Chris Morris said, do you think you'll ever play a H chord? And he was like, I think I will. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I listened to Spaceman about a year ago, I think. It's not very good. But when it come out, it used to go off in the toothbrush. There was a couple of Levi's ones.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, there was obviously lots of reissues of 60s stuff. So obviously the really famous Nick Kamen in the white boxer shorts to...
Nick came in his white boxer shorts.
He did. Why has that never been a joke regarding that? That's one of the most iconic 80s adverts ever. Was that... Heard it through the grapevine? But then you had all these reissues of like Reet Petite, Wonderful World by Sam Cooke. So there was all of them, that kind of thing with Levi's. But in the 90s, they then went and found artists. Because not only was Babylon Zoo one, can you remember Stiltskin Inside?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. What a riff that was. That's not really your thing, is it? A bit of a guitar riff like that. But you still kind of like
it. Well, I just thought it was a rip-off of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, right.
Like, and that singer from that band who had really bad hair now fronts Genesis.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have a whole world of fucking shit facts for you on this podcast. Don't you worry.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, good solid chat for number five there, mate.
Thanks. What's your number five?
I'm going to go for Charles and Eddie, Would I Lie to You? I think it's fucking brilliant.
Mm.
Like, I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think Charles died about 2 years ago, the sort of Hispanic guy with the long hair. And... Oh, just he's just brilliant. I think they were one of the first bands to get signed to, was it Motown or Atlantic? Atlantic, I think, for a long, long time. And I just think it's a brilliant, brilliant pop soul record.
Any reason why they didn't do any more after that?
I don't know. It's so weird, isn't it? Where somebody's sort of debut song becomes. You know, it just absolutely dents the whole of the, you know, the cultural movement and music. And, you know, it's just there. And it's like, it transcended lots of different genres in regards to listenership. I'm sure there's probably lots of soul clubs that were like, this is a bit too poppy, but it's great.
Yeah.
In all the high street clubs that I was going to, it was playing, you know, piss poor dance music. That was also getting thrown in there as well. Because it's just sounds like a brilliant Motown song. It just sounds like a really, really good Motown song. Just as soon as it starts, that bow, bam, bam, bow, the piano line is just fucking brilliant. And when the strings kick in for that, look into my eyes, can't you see I'm open? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Like,
brilliant.
It's a great one to sort of like mimic, isn't it, with your friends and sing along to in a pantomime.
Yeah.
In a pantomime.
There
fashion.
You go, kids. You know, post bank holiday weekend, bit bored. Replicate that song with your friends.
Let your hair down.
Parents bored in the car with the kids, entertain them. Replicate Charles and Eddie, Would I Lie to You? That's what it's there for.
Beautiful.
Number four, Skin.
Laz Ketchup, the ketchup song. No.
I fucking love that, Chris.
I really love that. I'm joking. It was a little bit of a joke, a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek. How does that one go?
I said a hip, a hop, a hip, a hip, a little, 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 little,
you have confused the shit out of me, because at one minute I think you're doing bloody Sugar Hill Gang.
It's fucking brilliant.
I thought Laz Ketchup was like the, you know, the McDonald's.
No, you fucking melt. No.
Jesus Christ. Well, this is fucking... This is... Congratulations, guys, if anyone can hear that. Oh. Oh, that is quite fun. For some reason, I thought that was the McDonald's song.
No, not at all, mate. I'll tell you what, that's fucking... That screams holiday to me, that. Oh, I'm all over it.
Really?
I love it. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant little pop song, that.
You're
I'm not afraid. If there's such a thing as a guilty pleasure, which I don't subscribe to, that's in there for me.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
But that weren't actually your one, was it?
That
was
totally
funny.
That was me joking. It was me joking. Well, getting it wrong. Yeah, completely getting it wrong. I can't dig back out of that. I thought there's a counter. There was a counter argument to
gotta
that.
Gotta take that one on the chin, mate.
I liked...
That would have been in my five, actually, if I thought of that.
My number four is the... It was actually a cover of a Tears for Fears song. The Mad World, that I've got to re-look back at the name. And Michael Andrews and Gary Jewley. I really like that song.
Gary Jewels,
yeah. I liked it. I really liked it. I really like Donnie Darko, to be fair. It's a great movie. And for some reason...
Great soundtrack.
Me being an absolute Wally, thought that was R.E.M., who did that Mad World cover.
A lot of people did. A lot of people did.
All right.
I think he was definitely influenced by Stipe's vocals.
Yeah, right. Fucking hell.
Quite a few people said they thought that was R.E.M.
Influenced? I mean, it just sounds like his voice. I get maybe because I'm a bit more of a casual R.E.M. fan than yourself. I thought it was that. And I always remember, this was the era of MySpace blowing up. And like the internet becoming much more accessible. And I've said this story before, I'm sorry. But I remember logging onto MySpace. And you know, like everyone would have like, you know, you have your statement songs. Oh, these are the songs that are like, you know, my favourite song. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, your little your little player, didn't you?
Exactly. And you'd think you're really cool. And I remember one day landing on someone's page. And people who were clever could do HTML code. And they could have different things going on their MySpace page. And this one lad had like an MS Paint page. And I was listening to Mad World while I was watching people from all around the world draw on the page at the same time. And that sort of interconnectivity was kind of blowing my fucking mind that we were all... That shows how long ago it was.
Quite literally a mad world.
And I was here listening to Mad World, and as I was listening to it, someone was writing the word Mad World out on the page, and I was like, I wasn't even smoking a joint, and I really wish I was, because that would have absolutely blown my mind. Like, I just thought it was so crazy, and I really liked the song. I thought it was quite fantastical and phantasmical, and if that's a word. And listening to that, and then obviously they never produced another tune. There you go, one and done. And it was a cover.
So I probably didn't make any fucking money either. But I'm sure Kurt Smith and Ronan Orzabal made a lot of money. Not that they needed it. But also on the Donnie Darko soundtrack, am I right that Echo and the Bunnymen, Killing Moon's on that as well, isn't it?
I couldn't honestly tell you.
Yeah, tune, mate, tune. Solid share. I believe I might be wrong, but that might have been a Christmas number one.
Well, Mad World.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for a song by a band called Mental as Anything.
That sounds like a band I would like.
They're Australian. If I'm not mistaken, the lead singer died a year ago. It was a one-hit wonder in the UK. Mm-hmm. I think they're a far more established band in their home country. Mm-hmm. And it's a song called Live It Up.
Right, okay.
And I just think it's one of the closest things to a perfect pop song.
Really?
Yeah. It became famous because it was used on Crocodile Dundee. so I don't know if you know this. Wait for the chorus.
Oh, it's a fucking tune, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good song.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely love that. Incidentally, I heard a really mad fact on Crocodile Dundee yesterday.
Mm. Go on, then.
When they were putting it together, the film, INXS were approached and said, obviously fellow Aussies, put some money into this because it'd be a great tax loss because it's going to bomb. And they said no. That would have been a good investment, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Probably I've got the more biggest money. Film of that year.
Mo money, mo problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mental as Anything, Live It Up.
It's a really good song.
It's really good. And it's just got a lovely middle eight. And it proper makes me smile, that song. It every now and again, it'd be on like one of the retro Top of the Pops. Mm. Just brilliant. Absolutely love it. Yeah, Live It Up, Mental as Anything. We should put together a Spotify playlist for this podcast, and we share the link on it so people can go and listen to all the songs that we natter about.
I think, yeah, we should. Let's see if we actually get it out in time. If not, Google it, you lazy shit. Do you want my number
customer
three?
Care from Glasson there.
Jeez, the customer is always a cunt. Oh, can we say that on Acast? That's normally reserved for patron sort of language, isn't it, that?
Well, it's Maverick Glasson today, isn't it?
Talking about an offensive song, number three, Three of a Kind by Baby Cakes. It's not.
That's not in my five.
That I went through and I saw a lot of them on one of these lists and I was just like, why is anyone even bothering to list that? No one gives a shit that was... I guess it was a one-hit wonder in the garage world. Two lads in their bedroom. They were always doing it. That was when people in their bedrooms could start actually producing music, really.
And before that, you look at Rave. You know, how many one-hit wonders was there then? Yeah. You know, it's only the fact that the Prodigy, knew their shit. Mm. But how many bloody one-hit wonders were, that had this one Rave record?
Yeah, sampling.
You know, that had sampled some kind of kids' TV show.
Yeah.
There was bloody stacks of them, I guess you got it another stab at that with a garage thing, but yeah, Baby Cakes was big. And what was the other one? Flowers.
I bring you flowers. Yeah, I don't know if that. Yeah, I can't even remember who did that now. There's just so many. I was in that garage scene just because of circumstance, not because of passion, really.
Mm.
And there are some good tunes to come out of it. My number three. This is going to be controversial. My Sharona, The Knack. Would you say that's a one-hit wonder?
100%.
All right, okay. I love the song. Yeah. I think it's a bit pedo. Now I know the lyrics a bit more. Mm. But if I just go with tone and not any sort of underlying reasons that the girl was underage that he's singing about, it's an incredible feel-good song, that, My Sharona. That gets me pumped up like no one's business. Just how punchy it is and like, you know, the flow of the lyrics that are coming through. It's really good. It's a real fun song. Great crescendo. That'll fill a dance floor. Yeah, My Sharona, mate, by Zinac.
I love it. I've told you about my dream, haven't I? when I wrote the perfect song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I woke Carol up in the middle of the night and went, listen, listen, listen. She's like, what? I went, I've just wrote a masterpiece. This was when I was still messing around writing songs like 20 years ago. She's like, what? And I was like, do, 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 do. And I remember she's like, it's my Sharona. Just go back to sleep. Oh, fucking hell. Like, I literally thought it had come to me in my sleep that I'd wrote the perfect song. And yeah, somebody unfortunately already had, and that was my Sharona. Oh, it's great. There's a middle eight in it where it kind of goes off on a proper guitar solo, which I think I get a little bit bored of.
Yeah,
but
what?
I know. And like, but then, you know, it's...
I agree.
It comes back, you do get the payoff again. Because it's a fucking marvellous record, that. Great.
Thanks, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
What's your number three?
So I've had Charles and Eddie, Mental as Anything. Right, I'm going to go for the first record I ever bought. Mm. And I'm going to go for Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, shout.
By the Buggles. Obviously, they, you know, the Buggles was fundamentally super producer Trevor Horn, that obviously then went on to produce the most of the most important records of the, mm-hmm. you know, that decade. But I just think it's, I think it's a great pop song, yeah. covered in the early 90s by presidents of the United States of America. I just think it's great. It's a really good little journey of a song as well, and I remember putting it on like the record player at home and literally just waiting till everyone had kind of left the room and then just dancing around the front room. I was probably eight, and just that, the bit when you think it's finished and it's like, you are radio star, mm-hmm. and then it kicks back in again. It's like, yeah, just a great pop record. And yeah, I absolutely love it. And who'd have thought that, you know, fast forward 2-3 years, he'd be the guy responsible for producing the sound that was Frankie Goes to Hollywood. You know, Relax, that, you know. And I think he'd done ABC. I think he'd done, like, Shoot a Poison Arrow and Look of Love. So, yeah, just a clever, clever dude. And, yeah, big number one hit, and yeah, first single I ever bought.
That's a good shout, man. I think he then went on to release another one under another guise, of which is my number two, which is Blue by Eiffel 65.
Did you buy that, though?
No, fuck that.
I imagine that's the sort of thing you would have bought.
That's so fucking offensive. Right, I can't... That is, like, all the things you say to me, and it's like water off a duck's
sorry,
back.
Do you know what? That is really shit.
That is like water off sorry. A duck's back. And that is just like, what are you going on about? Like, this is what I do. This is actually
if someone said, here's a picture of five of your mates, right? One of them bought that. I'd definitely put a circle around your head.
Like, this is how much of a... Look, I've got to make myself sound like more of a wanker than someone who would buy Blue by saying this now. There were certain songs, like, between 18 and, like, 26, I was going out a lot. And I guess I would walk out of clubs, like, because I'd have to go to Jumpin' Jacks because my mates wanted to go there, right? And I really had no interest in the music there, really. But I did like alcohol and girls and my friends, so I would go. But I hated the playlist. And when they played, I always remember I'd do it to Blue or the DJ Pooh with, I don't know what it was, Everybody Clap Your Hands. I'd just walk out the club. I'd walk out the club and go and stand outside the club till it finished. And I thought that was the right thing to do. Looking back now, I really realise how pretentious and how much of an arsehole I was. But even you saying I look like the kind of person to buy Eiffel 65, that has hurt me. That has cut me so deep.
So I've said it, I thought that might be the most offensive thing I've ever said to Clash.
That is, like, you know, comment on my appearance, my nature, anything about me.
Yeah.
But that
sorry,
is
dude.
Fucking rude.
I do need to have a word with myself about that.
You do.
That was too far.
This is no longer, my number two is no longer us. And my number two is the You and Me song, The Wanna Dies.
Right.
Because I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if they did many other tunes other than that, really. That gets me pumped up more than anything.
You know Hit by One of Those, didn't you?
Probably now. Go on.
Mondays too far, Tuesdays the same, Wednesday we go. And then it just fucking goes. Like the Pixies. Like,
I'm going to have Hit. A look.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe they're not a one-hit wonder then. Was there anything else that they released? This is where now Stu lists their five albums.
No. Shorty was the follow-up single to You and Me song, which is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, I was a big One of Dice fan, I mean, but I understand that's just me being indie wanker. Hit was a hit, but yeah, You and Me song, take it away, mate.
I feel like you stole my thunder. I'm gonna have to just double check. Corner Shop, Brimful of Ashes. I'll throw that one in. Said, well, actually, they also released. No, they didn't. They did that, and did they do that one about? No. Everyone needs a boom. Bosom for a Pillow was Brimful of Asher, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I love that song, The Wanna Dies, a lot, but I've never... I guess it's my fault for not looking, double-checking.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Ah, it's such a good song. It's a nice couple song, that. It's a nice... You know what it is? It's like a young love song, that is, as well.
Even when we fight, I'll kiss you once or twice and everything's forgotten.
Yeah, it's beautiful, mate.
I've just literally got goosebumps.
Oh.
Like, I love that song. Like, it's heartbreakingly joyous.
It is. It absolutely is. It's just such a sweet, sweet song. And also Jump Up as well. So a great song. That's a song you can enjoy in the car, in the club, in between the sheets. I don't think you'd want to fuck to that. It'd be a bit weird, I guess.
We've took that song to a very different place from where I had it in my head.
I'm sorry. What's your number two?
I really want to try and find you Hit by the Wanna Dies because it's a really fucking great record.
Well, I mean, I can go and listen to it after the episode, mate. Don't you know, subject our fans to sort of like some tinny. You're going to do it though, aren't you?
Here we go.
Right, yeah.
Because I don't like the fact that you.
That's really not sounding very good for a mic, mate. I'm going to be honest with you. We just lost about 300 listeners.
Oh, dear. Right, I'm going to put it on the playlist for this episode. Okay. It's going on there.
All right, okay. Go on in, mate.
My number two is it was a one hit. Although the artists were not one-hit wonders. When Bernard Butler left Suede, he recorded an album with David McCormont, and the lead single from that was called Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that song?
Yeah. Yes, I do feel better. Yes, I
do. There you go.
I feel all right. Do you know what? Just to break your flow, we were in the car the other day driving along, and I started singing in a
Mad World by Gary Jules with Camilla O.
I started singing in my what I thought was my most ridiculous voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly went, "That sounds all right." And I was like, "You fucking pull the other one, Molly. Don't try and get me on the X Factor." And she was like, "No, it really does sound quite good." And honestly, Shu, the more I tried to destroy my voice, the more she was like, "No, I think you've got something there. It's very warbly, like Anthony and the Johnsons." I was like, "Mate, don't start comparing me."
Wow.
It was awful. I don't know. She's got to get off the crack, I guess.
Jeez.
It's bad. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, mate.
Yeah, I think it's just perfect. I think it's like it's pure Phil Spector, the production. It's just huge, mm-hmm. You know. Massive string arrangements, like crashing cymbals and drums. Bernard Butler playing guitar, don't get a lot better than that. And David McCormont's voice is just insane. And yeah, I absolutely love it. There's a few versions on YouTube. They got back together and played it live. I don't know what sort of event it was. I think I got Romeo from the Magic Numbers playing bass on it as well. And I think it might be a couple of the members of the Magic Numbers, and they're all looking like it's like all of their birthdays have happened at once, and they're getting to be playing this magical song. And it was the last thing that you'd expect from the guitarist from Suede, because it was such a furore when he left Suede. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, what's he going to do now? And it was like, oh my God, he's wrote this like absolutely monumental single that is just pure, pure pop. And it's just brilliant.
It's a banger.
It's huge. It sounds. I don't think you can get a record that sounds bigger than that. It just there's no gaps in it, and I think I don't think you could add anything to that to make it better.
That's a fair comment, mate. That's a fair comment. You've inspired me, by the way. We started watching music documentaries last night.
Oh, what
one
did you watch?
We started with the Blitz Club.
Well, I've literally just finished a podcast this morning with Gary Kemp from Spandau Ballet.
Did you really?
And so all I done was just picked his brains about that club because I was like, I run a place called Crocs. And he was just like, I've been to Crocs. And so, I've had a really fun chat about that. That Blitz documentary was fucking great, wasn't it?
Yeah, I haven't quite completed it yet, but it's been it's so inspiring and wonderful that I've got to watch. And that's it. Me, Molly and her mum are like, right, let's do a music documentary binge. So I'm going to come to you and ask you for some other must watches.
That Blitz one is really inspiring insofar as at the end you see all of these working class kids that were going to this bizarre place that have then gone on to completely change the musical or the creative landscape, whether it be through fashion, art, photography, music. Mm-hmm. It's fucking fascinating. Mm-hmm. What a cool little place. Yeah, great. Brilliant. We should do top five music documentaries at some point.
Let me watch some then.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good place to start. Watch a few. Right, so is it your top spot?
Yeah, it's Fuck It, I Don't Want You Back by Eamon. Only joking, it's Fuck You Right Back by Frankie, his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's Blind Melon, No Rain. Pip put it on a mixtape for me back when we were like 21. And it was just such a lovely, lovely song. And I was just gutted because they thought they were gonna be quite big. I think they played Woodstock or something, and then the lead singer was just absolutely strung out so much from drugs. I think he died of an overdose. So I kind of like that was that for Brian Mellon. But I just loved the song. I thought it was a really beautiful song. I must have listened to it fucking 1,000 times in my early 20s. Yeah, and just a shame, really. I guess it's kind of, you could disqualify it because it was like, it wasn't his fault, he OD'd. You could argue it was, but you know, it wasn't, it's not a one hit wonder and then they just decided not to, or they couldn't reach that. It was like poor sod died. But I loved it. I really liked Blind Melon. And I was always like, oh, when are they going to release more stuff? And it was like, oh, then they're definitely not going to be releasing anything else. So, yeah, that's my number one, man. If people haven't listened to it, it's kind of like a psychedelic rock, isn't it, really? Or it's not heavy.
I'd say whimsical. Whimsical kind of acoustica, really, yeah. That one.
Yeah.
The other stuff was a bit more raucous. And do you know the story about the singer?
No.
So the singer, Shannon Hoon, was really good friends with Axl Rose.
Oh, really?
And so if you see the video to... See, my Guns N' Roses knowledge is shit because I'm not a fan, but there's a song by Guns N' Roses called Don't Cry, and which I think was a big hit. And if you see the video, Shannon's with Axl singing it.
Oh, right.
Like, and then, yeah, obviously, they become... I mean, that song was huge. Like, that video, that little girl dressed as a bumblebee was pure MTV 90s for me. Mm. And I just think he just was, just in a bit of a pickle, wasn't he? And you know, they were a big band, you know, in sort of, you know, alternative rock circles around that time. You know, I think they definitely earned their stripes. I've got mates that really liked them. They weren't for me, although I love that record. But I have to be honest, I put that in a box with There She Goes by the Lars that after about 6 years of DJing it, I just thought, I can't hear that ever again.
Oh, really?
But both of them records I can hear now.
Yeah.
And I just remember just how fucking great they are. It's brilliant, No Rain. It's such a fucking... lovely little song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Great shout. Great shout.
What's your number one then, mate?
Get What You Give by the New Radicals.
is it really? It's not,
yeah.
Is it? Oh, I hate the New Radicals.
Like,
I fucking hate them.
I think it's about as perfect a song as you can get.
Yeah.
Like, as a pop song, I think it's just fucking excellent.
Oh, really? I almost can't believe you.
Yeah. Almost. Oh, I love it. And I love him. I think he's fucking...
What was his name?
Oh, I can't think. But he done something. Do you know the story of what he done after that?
No.
It's fucking cool,
go
man.
Go on then.
So, he basically was a songwriter. He did not want to be famous.
Right.
Hence the hat.
I can tell. Yeah.
And like, did not want to be famous.
You have told me this story. Go on, I can't remember it.
Yeah. So, after, obviously, that becomes a fucking global fucking mega hit, the label are like, right, next album. And he's like, look, I'm not touring it. I'm not doing any press. It's just, I don't want to do it. We can put it out as a record and that's it. And then they booked a massive tour and booked a big press tour, radio and all of that. And he basically sent, I think it was called Zetafax, like Zetafax, all of these radio stations, TV companies, just said, fuck you, and just fucked them all off to the point they all just hit the low light going, fuck that guy. And like, he systematically, on his own terms, killed his career because he wanted to be a songwriter, not a performer or a front man or anything like that. And then you can hear, so he wrote Love Is a Roller Coaster for Ronan Keating.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So if you listen to that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't suggest you should, but it's a good pop song.
I was listening,
you know,
to
it. In a songwriting sense, if you're going to go classic songwriting. But you can hear that's him. It's a very, very obvious style. And I just think, Get What You Give, I just think he's brilliant. The intro, one, two, hey, man. I just think the guitar line's great. Really good voice. Just uplifting, good pop song. Yeah, and then obviously you get the fun bit at the end with Courtney Cox and Marilyn Manson, "You're All Fakes," run to your mansions and all that kind of little little spiel at the end. Yeah, love it.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to say something insulting by saying I think you'd be the last person I thought would have bought that record.
Oh, I loved it. And still love it. I get really excited when it comes on the radio.
I get confused as well a little bit by the people who did Chumbawamba, who did Tub Thumping, which was a one-hit wonder. And that, again, is another song that really, like, it just fucking upsets me. I generally thought it might have been the same band because I couldn't pay any attention to it. But I'm really sorry to like piss on your number one here. I pissed on it really hard. I think it's, I'm passing blood now. Each to their own, mate. Each to their own, I'd say.
Chumbawamba had like a load of records out before Tub Thumping.
Did they really?
They had a duet with, can you remember Credit to the Nation, the rap band?
No.
They'd done Teenage Sensation. But they had a song called Enough Is Enough with Chumbawamba. Yeah, Chumbawamba kind of were like a political kind of R.E. sort of crusty band that had done loads way before Tub Thumping. Yeah, they'd kind of had a kind of underground career for ages, as had Corner Shop. Corner Shop released a record this year. Like, Corner Shop have consistently been releasing records.
You see, I knew you'd shit on me. I even said that as a joke, and you saved it till I've had enough of this podcast.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.